It is such a neat privilege to be with y'all, and I don't need any introductions. I mean, I'm the oldest person that lives just, you know, that way from y'all, and I've been here several times. I love your pastor. I love your leadership. I love this church, and whatever I have been given the privilege, it's so wonderful. I was to be here last week on Mother's Day, and I was all set, and y'all faked it like something happened, and I couldn't come. And y'all dreamed up a windstorm and power outages. I said, my God, let's just have it outside, you know. But, you know, Justin told me we were off, and I was so disappointed. This morning, I have a big challenge for us. It is to understand the unbelievable love that Christ has for you and me. I think the church today is beat up. We don't understand the great depth of justification that Christ did on that cross and for what it means to us in every day that we live. I understand that I have been adopted into His family, that I am an heir with Christ Jesus. And it is not because I've earned it. It's not because I've deserved it. If you know me, you know that quite well, okay? But it's because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I think that one of the biggest things that we must understand as being a part of the body of Christ every day is that how much God loves you, the price that has been paid, and how I have been set free from my sin and bondage and what Jesus did for me. That does not mean that we're perfect. It does not mean that we don't make mistakes. But in that, okay, Jesus just loves me for who I am. Wow. There is a blood covenant. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life to always be there. As I get older, I realize it may not be very long. You know what I'm saying? You know, there are bumper stickers. And I can tell a lot about a person by their bumper sticker. You know, if you're a young parent especially, you got all these stickers on the back of your car. You know, student is an honor student. My child is this, and a little picture of him, a little stick figure or whatever. And I said, well, man, that's not very good. I never was an honor student, so my parents wouldn't have had one of those. And next one is, you know, my child is a yellow jacket, okay? Or my child is this, or my child is that. But, you know, Jesus said, my child is Rodney McGee, and I love him. And I know that when He looked at the Father and said, Father, this one's with me, God may have said, oh, are you sure, Jesus, okay? But yes, I was covered too by the blood. You see, in Romans, God makes it so clear in the 5th chapter. If you have your Bibles, turn there. I don't know, I guess we'll have some points here in a second. And if not, just listen with me. But in the 5th chapter, I want to read the first 2 verses. And we're going to go through, beginning in verse 6, I want to read 2 verses at a time to verse 11. And it says there that, you see, at just the right time. Wow. At just the right time. That right time is when you found Jesus, okay? When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly die. I love that scripture. And we see that first point there, that we were ungodly, we were powerless, yet Christ died for us regardless. You see, His love is perfect. And regardless of how bad your sin was or was not, and some of us try to act like we're perfect and all those things, okay? But the truth is that He died for us in our sin. He went to the cross for you and me. At just the right time. That is God's appointed time to work in my life and to change it from the inside out. I'm so sick of all that, you know, put a picture up on the icebox and, hey, let's work hard and we can do it. Think you can. That's stupid thinking when you're in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, I can do all things. Amen? In 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, it says, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who came Himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony giving in the proper time. He paid the price I couldn't pay. He went to the cross. In his righteousness, he shed his blood for me and for who I was. And I understand that today. And I walk in that. Spiritually, at that time, we were powerless. We were weak, worthless, useless, helpless, hopeless, destitute, without strength, and unable to help ourselves. But Christ died for the ungodly. Not like some, God, you got to do this and do that and jump hoops before. Me, people, I'm trying to lead the Lord. They said, well, Rodney, man, thank you, but I got to get my life straight before I can do that. I said, man, you just lied to me. There's no getting your life straight till you get Jesus, okay? And when you have Christ in you, he'll give you that strength. And still, you'll not be perfect. The Apostle Paul, he's a pretty neat hero of mine. I look forward to meeting Paul someday in heaven. How about you? Wow. What was that thorn in your flesh? Come on. We've been arguing over that for 2,000 years, okay? What was that thorn in your flesh? What was it like to be snake bitten? What was it like to be shipwrecked? What was it like to get whipped with a rod 39 times, go to prison with your back bleeding and praising the Lord in the middle of the night? How did you do it, Paul? I'm going to meet him. You are too, in Christ Jesus. Christ died for our benefit, our sake, in our behalf, as our substitute. Why did he do it? Why did Christ go through it? He was perfect. He was without spot or wrinkle. He was the perfect lamb. He'd never made a mistake. And yet we nailed him to a cross. Somebody led years ago to the Lord, and after about 2 months of reading his Bible, he said, Pastor, I realize that it wasn't the Roman soldiers that nailed Jesus to the cross. It was my sinfulness. I said, you got it, buddy. Jesus did that for you and me. And every day we need to be bragging about Jesus and what he's doing in our life, what he's doing in our families, what he's doing in whatever profession that we have taken on. He was our ransom. He paid the price. In Romans 3 and 24, it says that we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love that. He paid the price for me. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for those that no one in the world would have died for. Yeah, who'll die for Rodney? I don't know a person that would. Okay. Well, maybe there's two or three. I think Rosemary, maybe on some days she would have. I don't know. Okay. But this love is love that comes from God. It's agape love. Woo! It's not that Ophelia love, that brotherly love. Someone might die for a certain kind of brother, but that love is not like agape. Agape is perfect. It's there every day. It's sacrificial. It gives itself. It cares for those that can't help themselves. And it cared so much that it went to the cross. You know, this last week, I've been kind of stupid. I hate to admit that about myself. But I started limping about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Just a little bit, a little limp. Okay? And, of course, you know, I tried to fake it like it wouldn't bother me very much. But my foot hurt sometimes. And so then, you know, one day I looked at the ball of my ankle. I hadn't sprained my ankle. It's blue all the way around it. It looked like a sprained ankle. And I thought, yeah, well, gosh, I don't think that's anything. And then a couple of days later, I had 3 or 4 toes that were black. And then the top of my foot turned yellow, okay? And Rosemary put her foot down on me. Go to the doctor. I said, sweetheart, they're going to say, old man's disease, get over it, you're okay, right? And so finally, I have coaches' Bible study on Friday morning and met with all the coaches up there and all, and I got through. I just wore my flip-flops, you know, and had my warm-ups on. I went by the trainer, and I said, hey, man, what do you think about this? He said, my gosh, what happened to you? You sprained your ankle. Nah, didn't sprain it. I don't know what it is. He said, you need to go to the doctor. Now, y'all, Rose had gone for a couple of days to be with her sisters, okay? And she was gone, so I could go sneak off the doctor and not even tell her, like she was right. You know, nothing worse for us men to admit that our wives knew something that was right. You know what I'm saying? And so I found myself leaving there, I had no intention of going to a doctor. And I just kept driving past my exit to go home. And I'm at the doctor's office. I said, I wonder what time this place opens. It opens at 8. It's 5 after. I walk in and, hey, coach, you know, all that. You know, your oldest guy, everybody knows you, right? You know. And said, what's going on? I said, oh, I don't know. I got a little foot. Give me a little trouble here. And so she said, oh, my gosh, let me take a picture of that and give it to the doctor. So the doctor said, go down and have some x-rays taken. Went, oh, my God. Now I'm going over to the hospital to get x-rays. Okay. I was just going to coach's Bible study. I find myself, people I love me, send me over, get x-rays and all the other. This overkill. This is crazy. And then go back as soon as you get through. Now go see the doctor, and she says, Pastor, you got a problem. A problem? She said, yeah, nothing broken. She said, but you have been bit by something, and you have an abscess. It's infected, and we need to get you on some heavy antibiotics. I said, oh, I don't know if I don't like taking anything. She said, you're taking these antibiotics, okay? Quit being stupid, okay? Basically what she told me. And so then I got to go to Walmart and get my antibiotics. And I got to my house, leaving the house at 6:20. I got to the house at 12:20, okay? I'd wasted 6 hours of my morning doing that, okay? You know the truth was, though? It was God rescuing my stupidity. And my foot's still swollen, and had a funeral yesterday in mourning in Austin, and we had something last night. And when I got home, you know, it's better. Rosemary said, well, I think it's better. Now she's encouraging me, okay, you know. But, you know, isn't it that way with life sometimes? We got things that happen around us. Maybe they're not always good. Maybe they're actually hurting us. Maybe it's almost injured us from the inside because of what the enemy is trying to do. But we've got to remember that there is a great love that Jesus has given us on a cross, and he wants to be a part of everything that we do, every day that we live. We have hope. Don't you dare let the enemy take that from you. We were sinners, point two, and yet God demonstrated his love for us. We see that in verse 8 and 9 there. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Good gracious. He died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? I need to know that. A lot of times I meet with people, man, tell me about you and Jesus. Well, We're not getting to the heart of it, though. And I said, well, man, when you stand before glory, you think they're going to let you in? Well, yeah, I think. I've tried to do my best and all that. I said, stop it. Why would they let you in? Well, I've just been a pretty good guy. I said, man, you just lied to me. There are no good guys that get into heaven. It is by faith and grace, that not of ourselves, but a gift of God. But when you have Jesus, And I'm believing that this is filled with believers. Let's walk in that faith and trust. Let's grow. Let's go. Let's get our roots going deep down in there. I like green flowers and green grass and everything. And I live on a hill with a bunch of rocks. I had to bring a bunch of dirt in. And people said, well, you just need to have a zero scape, you know? Zero scape to me means ugly and pathetic, okay? And now when I'm fighting armadillos and hogs and everything else, I think, you know what? I should have been a zero scape guy, okay? But you know what? In my life, I want the fullness of Jesus. I want to live in those green pastures with the Lord. I don't want to see that dead stuff. I want him to prune it, cut it away, get rid of it, and man, let's move on and be what God wants us to be. We all have challenges in life. Every one of us. He demonstrates his love for us. He proved it. He proved his glory in our sin, his love for us. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of eternal life is Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you love it? You know, I can just walk in those scriptures every day. I love it. You know, I thinking back when I was pastoring 100 years ago, still over at Hill Country Fellowship, we had this deal called Men's Outdoors, okay? And we had a great caterer at the church, and we'd have barbecue and beans and sausage and stuff that you guys in Lano eat every day over here with all these barbecue places, right? And a homemade dessert and all. And I tell the men in our church, I said, go get every heathen you can find. Because we're going to talk about white-tailed deer hunting. We got an expert coming in. He's bringing in some of his big heads and all that. And we're going to talk about all the aspects of that. Man, we have these men all over coming to Men's Outdoors, okay? And, you know, we might have a couple hundred guys, you know, show up, you know, just to a little, you know, Tuesday night, Thursday night meeting, whenever it was. And then, you know, after we eat and we have that, well, we might, you know, do something, you know, like have a testimony of someone there that has met Jesus as Savior and all. And then everybody just hugs everybody and, man, you come back again. We love you. There was a certain young man there, and none of y'all would know him, but and I won't call his name. He came up to me and said, man, Coach, thank you. That was great tonight. I said, man, it is. I said, how about you, heathen? When are you going to start coming to church on Sunday morning? He said, oh, Coach McGee. He said, I'm not a church guy. I said, I'm not talking about being a church guy. I'm talking about being a Jesus guy. And I said, I want you to know I love you. You know I do. You love me. I'd like to see you in church. He said, Coach, maybe someday. He came to another Men's Outdoors meeting. And then the next Sunday, he showed up on a Sunday morning at church with his wife. And then after a little bit, he came down to that altar, gave his life to Jesus Christ. And I went, gosh, Lord, you can use white-tailed deer hunting to save somebody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can bridge the gap. You'll use anything in our life, use our profession, use whatever it is. And so then, about, oh, a week or 10 days later, they called my secretary, set up an appointment, and he and his wife, it was really his girlfriend, came in, and they said, Coach, we want to be married. I said, my God, you've got three kids together, okay? And, you know, I knew exactly what was going on, but I wanted him to tell me. When he was 18, she was 19, they got pregnant. They had their first child. And after they had their first child, they got married. They stayed together for a year. They got divorced. Then she got divorced again. They started living together again. She got pregnant again, had twins, okay? Now they got three kids, and they've been together for 5 years. And he tells me he didn't like church, you know, at first, okay? But when Jesus came in his heart, the Spirit of God began to work within him. You know what I'm saying? And work within her. And I said, so, you know, look, guys, we love each other, but I'm not magical, okay? You think just because I do your service that, woo, hocus pocus, it's filled with blessings and all that? What is the commitment of your life? I said, when do you get married? And they said, well, Coach, we're looking at this date. If you can do it this, and it was about, you know, 4 months away. And I said, are y'all willing to be celibate for the next 4 months and live in the same home with three children? That'd be a good step to honor the Lord. Woo, man. She said, oh, that's no problem. He said, Coach, that's 125 days. No one said anything. And I said, look, guys, I'm going to help y'all. Y'all set up an appointment, come in later. He came in next month. 32 days, Coach. 32 days. And then time went on. I did their wedding. Had about 150, 175 people. Everybody knew their story. It was all their friends, some of their family and all. They knew that something crazy had happened in both of their lives and how they were moving towards the Lord. But I said, do I have permission to share the story? They said, sure, Coach, anything you want to share. So they did their vows. We exchanged their rings. And I said, I want to tell y'all a story, though, of a small commitment that they have made in their marriage before they were married as God wanted them to be married. And there was not a eye that was not crying in that child. The weeping of the Lord, because there was a presence of God in their commitment to say, God, I choose to find the best way. I prayed that God would make them new virgins after three children, okay? And God can do incredible things, and He wants to do it in you and in me, in every area of our life. We need to quit faking it, realize the great love, and we need to move on. Third and finally, and I'm going to close here with an illustration. It says, we were enemies, and yet God reconciled and saved us. Woo! I like that reconciliation, okay? Reconciliation means to change from enemy to friendship, to bring together, to restore, to make new, to fix. Sometimes my wife acts up. I have to work with her. Why are y'all laughing? So that we can be restored. We hold hands and pray together at least four or five times a week. Not our quiet time, not our devotion time. Just praying for each other. It's wonderful. One Saturday she told me, she said, I said, honey, why don't you pray? She said, oh, you've been acting like a jerk. Get your heart right so you can pray. You know, but in this, it is two persons. It's Jesus and it's us. And He reconciled me. Woo! Did y'all hear that? That didn't even hurt my bad foot, okay? He reconciled me. He made me new. He fixed my life. He covered my sinfulness. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some people say, well, that book's already filled out. God knows who's going to. Okay, whatever, okay? But my name is in there. Why? Because of what He did on a cross, and He paid the price. I will tell you what, church, when we could realize those things right there, we would be different people, a different church, and experience something that's so wonderful. I know that many of you are here are doing so well in the Lord, and you're just absolutely doing wonderful. I want to close with this, and it spoke a lot of truth to me. I hope y'all can gather something from it. I was watching a TV program many years ago, and it was a 30-minute program that was dedicated to organ donorship, giving your organs, you know, if they're, you know, still worth something when you die, I guess, okay? And the program centered around a family who was on a vacation trip to San Francisco. And it was a mom, dad, and two teenagers, a young man and his sister that was named Tilly. And they're there. They're going through a red light. Someone runs a red light and hits their car. And Tilly is dead. And they resuscitate her. And they put her on a machine. And after several days, the doctors came and they shared the bad news with that family and for what it meant. People began to talk to them about organ donorship as a family. And she'd always said she would love to be able to help someone else if something happened to her. And they began to talk about that. But on this program, they showed all these people, all kinds of different people in the world that needed help. And these all needed physical help. There was a man that needed a heart. And before they could get him one, he died. There were people that had needed kidney. And they, man, because they didn't have it and dialysis wouldn't do it anymore for them. And they lost them. But then there were those that were just so close. They said, we think that maybe a week or 2 weeks and see if you were an organ donor, maybe your lungs, your kidneys, your heart, whatever body part, your lungs, it can make a big difference for a person. So the family finally decided that they would do that. And the program showed the surgery and the different parts that went to these different individuals. You talk about touching. To bring physical life into a person that is going to die. It was crazy. 6 months later, this family went back to San Francisco. And they began to meet with some of these families that had been given new life and for what it meant. Someone that was going to die, but they got a certain body part and now they're living healthily and doing well. And what it meant. And I can just remember how it moved me and how it touched my heart. And I just thought, what about all those other people that died that didn't get a body part? What about them? But then I begin to think about those people around me spiritually that need help. A lot more serious than the physical, but the spiritual. They haven't found the love of Christ like we have. And for what that meant. 6 months later, when they're there, they showed a certain interview with a man. And that young man and his mom and dad stood with this man and his wife, and they spoke looking into the camera. And he said this, he said, because of Tilly, she gave me a second chance. And I thank God for her every day and for what she did for me. And I thought, Jesus, that's what you did for me. You didn't just give a body part. You gave your whole body. And you were perfect so that I could live. Now, who can I help? What person in Llano, Texas needs you? Where you work, where you play. It's not about your golf game. It's who you can pray for after, during the relationships you build. It's not about work, as important as that is. It's about the people at work that need Jesus. And you can be a light in a dark world. Amen? And y'all, that family walked away with a peace that they hadn't seen in the last 6 months. To see all the people that had been given life. You know, one day, we're going to stand before the Lord. And for those that are in Christ, the Bible talks about what we call the Bema Judgment, a reward time. There's actually 7 crowns. I'm still trying to get a baseball cap or a football helmet or something, okay? But yet, we'll stand before the Lord. And I know that He's going to show us our service to Him, to people. And I think He's going to show us the people and their lives that we have touched and for what's been done and the life that's changed. And y'all, today I think the Lord would just say, I want you to know something at Journey Church. I love you. You know, y'all have something very special. There's a love here. It's wonderful. Your pastor has helped you in that. He's loved you in that. But God has done this. But there's still a lot more that God has for you to do. Don't be happy in the now. But live about what God has forever in the future. Amen? Amen? Now listen, I'm preaching at myself. I want y'all to know that. This is for me this morning. I need to be reminded that Jesus reconciled me, that He loves me, that He cared for me when I was hopeless. He saved me. He fixed me from the inside out. And when I know that every morning, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I'm going to have a closing word of prayer. And then after I close this time with prayer, if there's someone in here that wants to visit after the service or whatever, Rose and I are going to be here, okay? Or you can call me this week, whatever's good for you. You know, we'll make ourselves available. After I pray, though, they're going to bring leadership up, and they have some things that they want to talk to Journey Church about this morning, okay? So let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You for this day and for this time. Your Word is so perfect. And Lord, when You gave us this book, we knew that there were a lot of people at that time were being persecuted and going through hard stuff. And Paul wanted him to know that the Lord is looking out for him. He loved him. And God, we want to live that every day of our life. And Lord, may the joy of the Lord be our strength. May we walk, you know, with excitement in our life. The world is crazy and things that are happening, and we can put our head in the sand and cry and moan or groan, or we can say, my Jesus is still on the throne. He's in charge. And I'm going to trust him today in my life. And so, Lord, would you just bless every person that's here today in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.